Girls' Night Out, a sci-fi romance in 6 episodes. Episode 3, Girls' Night Out.
Inception subject number 2, located.
Expand.
Inception subject number 2 is in North America, Guatemala, Antigua. In Hospital Nacional, she is in a coma as a result of an injury to the brainstem.
Show me. Clementine.
Health records indicate that Inception subject number 2 will be taken off life support in 17 hours and 24 minutes.
Wonderful! We're not too late.
Meanwhile, back in my kitchen, Lane and I were getting decadent. Lane had commandeered my Spanx and was wearing them like a strange beret, with their afro poking out on the top. It looked pretty good. She was playing on Tupperware drums with chopsticks. I had a wooden spoon as a microphone.
We should go out.
What, now?
Yeah. Let me see what's on at the Hong Kong Inn. Here we go. The Split Ends are playing. Come on, young lady. I'm taking you out on the town.
Lane, I don't think...
What? It's not like you have to work tomorrow.
Does that mean I have to change?
Yes, that's right. You have to change. Do you ever think about that night on the cliff?
I had a dream about it last night.
We lost time. That's for sure. I wonder where he is.
Who?
You know who.
I did know who. Fanboy. The first time I saw him, we were playing a gig at a pub called the Yale. Scuzziest bar on the planet, right? He was in the crowd, right next to the stage, just looking up at me, smiling. Then after the show, when we were in the dressing room...
Hello there.
Hello. I am Fen B. I enjoyed your show very much.
Come on in.
Oh, okay.
Look what I found outside. This is... what was that again? Fanboy?
That is almost correct.
Want a drink? He never missed a gig after that. It wasn't just a summer romance. We had a connection. Like one night, Fanboy and I were on the beach. I was strumming on my guitar and he was listening. He still hadn't kissed me yet. I figured I was gonna have to make the first move. I'm going for a swim.
You'll get wet.
That's the idea.
You're undressing! Isn't public nudity illegal?
Come on.
Ouch. How can you walk on these small stones without pain? Ooh, look at the vasoconstriction on my arm! Each hair is standing on end.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a very clever adaptation. Oh, what?
I was going to kiss you. I'm sorry. You probably don't...
No. It's just... I don't know how to do that.
That's okay. Don't think. Don't talk. Wow, did you feel that?
Yes, I felt it.
Come on, last one in is a rotten egg.
Oh, gosh.
He was kind of strange, you know?
He was a lot strange.
Well... what do you think?
Holy shit, Mama. Dr. Roland, you should dress like that all the time.
Pants are a bit tight. Look, I have a muffin top. I had drug out my rock and roll leathers and squeezed into them. Halter top, jacket, and pants. All black. All leather. All badass. We were ready to go out on the town. It would have been perfect if you had been there with us, Clementine. But we knew you were traveling. We just didn't know about the accident.
I feel you, Warden.
Director, I have found Inception Subject Number 2, the Earthling, Clementine. She is damaged.
Can Subject Number 2 manifest?
She has no brain activity and is being kept alive with a machine.
That is unfortunate.
On Earth, humans still move through space and time using individually operated mechanical devices called cars. Because the cars move faster than human nerve reflexes can cope with, they often collide with other objects, mostly other cars.
But surely, if they have the technology to make the car, they have the technology to make the car so that it doesn't have collisions.
Humans have a strange passion for cars. Cars symbolize freedom, self-actualization, sex appeal. A safe car is not attractive to them.
Fascinating.
I cannot reach her telepathically, and I would like to repair her brainstem. I request permission to physically visit Earth.
Is that absolutely necessary?
I need all three Inception subjects, Director.
Very well, Warden. Permission to assume physical form is granted. But remember what happened to your predecessor. Don't get involved.
Yes, Director.
Make it quick. Get in and get out. Don't disappoint us, Warden. End thought sharing.
Lane and I went to the Hong Kong Inn, a karaoke bar that stayed open late. It didn't take long before we had mics in our hands. Put me on a stage with a microphone and I transform. I am no longer Dr. Grace Roland, wife, mother, and chief scientist at Feelright. I am Gracie Blaze of Girls Night Out. And it was time for Lane and I to belt one out. Pretty soon, every woman in the place was up and dancing. In that moment, we were all goddesses of beauty and love. And then I looked out into the club and I saw him. Or at least I thought I saw him. Fanboy. He was older, but his face was like a lantern in a dark sea of people. He was smiling at me like he always did. I looked over at Lane. Did you see him too? Lane was doing the bump with a girl who had joined us on stage. I looked back and he was gone. While Lane and I were up on stage singing and Kaylee was hiding under Persephone's bed, Anita was on a mission to get evidence of the side effects of Fountain of Youth. At a time well past everyone's bedtime, Anita was parked outside the Feelright Laboratory. Her mission? To get into the laboratory without her building pass. Her plan? To sneak in with Faye Dansky and her crew of night cleaners who came in on the graveyard shift. Anita flashes the head cleaner her defunct building pass.
You're not on my crew.
Lab assistant. I clean the animal cages.
How much do they pay you?
$9 an hour?
Well, with me, you get 15 an hour. Cash. No animal messes to clean. Call me. Here's my card.
The head cleaner gave Anita her business card. One of the cleaners held the door open for Anita and they all filed in. Faye and her crew headed in one direction, and Anita went in the opposite direction towards the animal testing unit and her beloved rats.
Hi, girls. Did you miss me?
Anita loved her rats, but she was there to retrieve a hard drive. Months ago, Anita had warned Dr. Pentergast about the side effects. Anita sensed that she was going to be taking off the trial, so she made a copy of the interviews and hid the copy in plain sight in Pentergast's notoriously messy office. She knew where to look for it, and she knew where Pentergast kept his keys in a little box on his bookshelf. So when she found the hard drive, she started sending the files to me.
You've reached the voicemail of Dr. Grace Rowland. Please leave a message.
Grace, it's Anita. I found the hard drive. I'm sending the files to you now. Talk tomorrow. Bye.
18 minutes to upload. Plenty of time for Anita to get into trouble. Then she heard something.
Hello?
Anita heard a sound coming from the Clinical Research Unit, or as we call it, the CRU. That's where the human trials are done. She made her way down the hall towards the sound. She tried the door to the CRU. It was locked. But she had Pentergast's keys, so she went into the CRU. Everything was tidy and orderly. Anita walked up to a glassed-in observation area. She could see through the one-way glass into another room. In the room were cages, and each cage was a woman. Five women in all. Anita hit the intercom button.
Hello, I'm Dr. Anita Chung. Are you guys okay?
We can hear you. We can hear you.
We're trapped. Help us. Do something.
Get us out of here.
Please, help us.
Can you hear us?
I can't open the door. Hold on. I'll get help.
Anita started punching in numbers on her phone. Two guys from security burst through the door. Anita flashed them her defunct Feelright ID.
I'm Dr. Chung.
They circled around her.
Hey, please, look at my pass.
One of them, a big guy called Gunther,
no.
put her in a headlock, and the other one, a nasty little guy called Jerry, took out a syringe. He injected her in the neck.
I used to work here.
They dragged Anita through a door and into the area with the caged women. They took Anita out through another door.
Shame on you.
That was the last time the caged women saw Anita. In the wee small hours of the morning, Lane and I left the Hong Kong Inn.
We were amazing. You know, we really should get the band back together. Girls' Night Out could rise again.
Come on. Who wants to see a bunch of old ladies playing rock and roll?
I do.
Hey, ladies. Going so soon? You want to party some more?
Yeah, no.
Wow, you're really tall.
Really? No one's ever told me that.
Yeah, okay, guys. We're not interested.
Why? You gay?
She's not, I am.
Well, in that case, hand over your money.
Oh, man. Really?
One of them pulled a gun on Lane. She looked around to see if there was anyone around who could help. She spotted a black cat sitting on the fire escape looking down on us, then Lane went into a trance. At the same time, I disappeared.
Where did the short one go?
Huh?
The short one.
He wanted my purse, so I let him have it. A few times.
Oh, shit! What the...
While I was whacking one of them with my handbag, the black cat jumped from the fire escape like a flying squirrel and landed on the other guy's head.
Fuck! Get this thing off of me!
While he had a snarling cat on his head, Lane kicked him in the nuts. He folded up like a deck chair.
Come on, Mikey. Let's go.
Dykes!
Is that supposed to be an insult? Grace, holy shit! What did you just do?
I hit him with my bag.
No, not that. The disappearing thing.
You mean you couldn't see me?
What is this? A trick?
Maybe. I can't control it.
Okay. How are you doing it?
I don't know. Like tonight before you came over, I was wondering how my life got so fucked up. I'm menopausal. My husband's left me for our accountant. My daughter says it's my fault. I'm a workaholic, according to my daughter. I've been forced to take extended leave. Oh, and I have Alzheimer's, apparently.
You're doing it! This is incredible! Okay, come back. Materialize, whatever!
That's not all. My hot flashes are, like, weaponized. I'll show you. See that cardboard box over there, next to the bin? Watch.
Great fucking balls of fire. When did all this start happening?
Just today.
Me too. Please don't laugh. You know how the cat jumped on the guy's head? That was me. How can I show you? I'm probably too stoned to do this right now. See those pigeons under the bridge?
Barely.
That's part of it. I know they're there. I can feel them. Watch this.
Lane!
Okay, not as impressive as your show, but it's like I'm inside the animal. I see what the animal sees, feel what the animal feels. Like before, I made the cat jump off a fire escape and land on that guy's head. But really, we did it together. What's happening to us, Gracie?
I don't know. Let's not tell anybody. Finally, Daphne, Pentergast, and Nurse Felix left Percy's bedroom. When the coast was clear, Kaylee climbed out from under Percy's bed. Percy was fast asleep. Her arm had a fresh bandage on the elbow.
Percy. Percy.
Get me.
Get you what?
Get me out of here.
I will. I promise.
Bringing this story to life are our wonderful voice actors. That's Nancy Zelno as Grace and Gracie, Jen Lyles as Lane and Young Lane, Matthew Moore is Fanboy and Warden, Paul Watton is director and AI voice. Rachel Tully is Dr. Anita Chung. Caitlin Stewart is Kali. Michelle Onida is Persephone. Dan Egan is Felix and Thug One. Ryan Wiley is Thug Two. Mary LaBrie is Faye Dansky. Additional roles were performed by Caitlin Stewart, Michelle Onida, and Mary LaBrie. Girls Night Out was written and directed by me, Mary LaBrie, and produced by Women of a Certain Age. Our poster art was done by Kelly Ulrich. Our podcast thumbnail was created by Dan Egan. Original music, We Are Alive, was composed and produced by Dan Egan. Thank you for listening. If you love the show, give us a review on your favorite podcast platform and share us with your friends and fam. For all the episodes and the behind-the-scenes stuff, check us out on Facebook or Instagram. Our handle is @GirlsNightOutUniverse. You can find all the links you need for this show in the show notes for this podcast. Or you can go to our Linktree, which is linktree.com/GirlsNightOutPodcast. You can also hear Girls Night Out in sunny California on KPPQ 104.1 FM. That's on The Shiver Show. Thank you so much for listening and for joining us in this reality vector.